Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have just two words for you.
Right now, it's Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Nancy Pelosi potentially could go to Taiwan. Guess what, John Hancock?
She's in Taiwan, yeah.
And she's getting praise from some unique individuals that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell and other Republicans have said that it's appropriate, proper for her to be there. You know, it's a very tenuous situation. This whole policy toward Taiwan and in its entire history, this one China policy that we've espoused has been a tricky dance for a very, very long time. China appears to be more militaristically interested in moving on Taiwan now than they have been throughout the past several decades. And so I think for that reason, the Biden administration was less than thrilled to have a high-ranking United States politician show up in Taiwan in a way that could heighten tensions in the region.
And the tensions are heightened. China plans 4 days of military drills in areas encircling Taiwan. Taiwan responded with, on their largest skyscraper, lighting it up, saying, "Speaker Pelosi." This is definitely something that's going to wind up getting some type of response from China. It'll be interesting to see how the world and the administration will react.
Now, this is a vexing problem because we've seen Russia just invade a sovereign nation in Ukraine. Taiwan has a democratically elected government. They have been for a very long time, and a fairly thriving economy in Taiwan. China has long had designs on them. They, you know, when in 1999, when Hong Kong was turned back over to Chinese rule from the UK, China made a commitment that they would not mess with the market economy that was in place in Hong Kong, thriving economy. People, businesses from all over the globe were stationed there. And in the course, we saw what happened within the last few years of China shutting down all kinds of protest and discontent in Hong Kong. And they've essentially seized control of that territory now. And a lot of fear that the same thing is going to take place in Taiwan. And if that does, what is the response from the West and what would we be able to do? And I don't know that I've seen an administration in either party articulate a coherent policy that would warn China that if you do this, then we will do that. I have not seen that come out of any United States national security effort.
China also saying those who play with fire will perish by it. So we are clearly headed towards some type of either a diplomatic or otherwise showdown between the United States and China. And those who play with fire and perish by it, well, that's kind of could go to the folks that knocked down our buildings on September 11th, almost 21 years later. The United States pulled off a drone strike against the individual who took over after Osama bin Laden was in power.
Ayman al-Jawahiri, he was taken out over the weekend by that U.S. drone strike. There was an interesting exchange that took place between the Pentagon spokesman John Kirby and Peter Doocy of Fox News. Do we have that sound?
So we know that the Taliban was harboring the world's most wanted terrorist. You guys gave a whole country to a bunch of people that are on the FBI most wanted list. What did you think was going to happen?
I take issue with the premise that we gave a whole country to terrorist groups. I mean, again, I'd encourage you to ask.
Harboring the world's number one terrorist. How is that not giving a country to a terrorist sympathizing group, if not giving them permission to have terrorists just sit on a balcony?
The question, I mean, Peter, the way you asked that, it makes it sound like we owned Afghanistan a year ago. It wasn't our country.
And that was Peter Ducey from Fox News. That was John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, a bit of an exchange. And, you know, that was the whole issue with Afghanistan, you'll recall, is that there was a growing sense that the United States needed to get out of Afghanistan, the 20-year entanglement that we had there. Donald Trump wanted us out, and Joe Biden wanted us out. It was Joe Biden that took us out. I've never personally agreed with that policy, and, I mean, Ducey makes a point here.
Well, but as you indicated, both Donald Trump and Joe Biden said they were going to do this. Joe Biden delivered on what was said. I think the preponderance of people in both parties thought getting out of Afghanistan was the right decision. The pullout was a disaster. But I'm not sure you can pull out of occupying a country and it go that swimmingly.
You know, we had the Bagram Air Force Base asset there in Afghanistan, strategically, regionally important. You know, we abandoned that. We abandoned billions of dollars of military equipment as well. And, you know, sometimes the United States has troops all over the world, and we've got them all over Europe. We have them in South Korea, and we had a large footprint there in Afghanistan, a very regionally significant area. However, I will say the fact that the United States was able to execute a drone strike that had to be launched from somewhere, I'm guessing Turkey, but we'd not heard that definitively where the strike originated. But the fact that we were able to deliver military assets into Afghanistan and in a targeted way take out an al-Qaeda leader, that's pretty gratifying. And it's also a big deal. That was a big win for the Biden administration. I don't think there's any way other than to congratulate them for executing that.
We are dependent on each other. China's dependent on us. We're the biggest market in the world. They have all the goods to sell. We have the good. They have the goods that we want. Do you think this is going to be a traditional military conflict, or do you think this becomes more of an economic showdown between the two superpowers?
Well, I think it potentially is both. And if you look at what China has done in Africa, for example, they are actively trying to develop African consumers for Chinese products, and that it's in a way that would minimize the American consumer. Now, that process is going to take a long time, but China has taken, you know, China looks at history in hundreds of years and not tens of years. And so, but it's clear to me that they've got an economic offensive that they are in the process of waging. And I think the military offensive as it relates to Taiwan and potentially beyond, I mean, all of Asia potentially is a target for China. That, I think, represents, in my thinking, the single greatest national security threat that we face in this country.
Xi has essentially rearranged the rules in China to ensure that he's going to get reelected. But there is a struggle inside the party, the Communist Chinese Party, that's going on between him and the premier over some of the economics and how China is going to have policy going forward. You said it. China looks at things hundreds of years down the road. Xi is in a position where he's got to look strong to his own people. Could this have sped up and ultimately a conflict that's inevitable?
I don't know. And it's long perplexed me how you can have a quasi-market-based economic system, which is what they've tried to build there, and have the restriction on freedom that a communist regime instills. And China has been able so far to carry off both of those things. I don't know if it's sustainable over the long haul, but I guess the history is going to show us.
Just 45 minutes or so left in the trade deadline. We're still expecting to hear some news about where all the players are going. We've heard Juan Soto is now with the Padres. That quest is over for the St. Louis Cardinals. We're going to spend a lot of time in the next couple of segments talking about the trade deadline. We'll visit with our own Chris Ranji. We'll take you all the way up to Cardinal baseball. But first, listen to this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine. You know, I'm single. And
I'm
most
well
of the people that are my age have been married for quite some time. And I was shocked.
Also well aware.
To hear from one of my friends, he's got an 11, a 12-year-old child, and he says to me, "Hey, I'm looking for a lawn service. Do you use a lawn service?" I said, "Well, I live in a condominium, and I don't cut my own lawn, but don't you have an 11, 12-year-old kid? Why isn't that kid out cutting the lawn?" That was my first experience and life of what work was.
Yes.
And I went out and mowed the lawn for myself, for my family, which was for free. And then some of the neighbors where I'd get myself 15, 20 bucks to go out there. And
you made 15 or 20 bucks?
Well, I'm a little younger than you, dude, so inflation. It was during the Reagan years. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I cut grass when I was a young wee lad. I was right there in the Willowbrook subdivision. Let's see, I had the Myers Yard. I did Mrs. What's her name? Mrs. Hammond lived over there. The Alpers. I cut their lawn. Cut a lawn there on over there on Fawn Ridge Court. I think I had a nice little circuit I was doing.
What's going on though that people don't have their own kids mowing the lawn? Now, I get that lawn mowers are dangerous, but heck, they're as safe as they've ever been. And, you know, I can tell you, John, I cut grass almost until the time I was able to get a real job. Mm-hmm. And I took that money that I got from cutting grass and money that I got from my first communion and, you know, my confirmation. I bought savings bonds.
Nice.
That didn't come due until I was old enough to drive. And then later in life, about 17, 18, I was able to cash those suckers in.
Boom.
And buy my first car.
Nice.
And now these people got these kids, you know, and they just don't have them out there mowing the lawn.
Well, we've gotten soft out there,
Michael. We have.
You know, you've got the lawn services and so forth. Now, I use a lawn service. But we've gotten soft. It would do me good to get out there and cut through. I got that big hill in the backyard, though.
Uh-huh.
I'm worried about, you know, the big hill.
Right.
And so we got man, these guys that do our lawn, they've got these massive.
They do it in 2 minutes.
It's unbelievable how quickly they do
it. But it's good for your kid to be out there sweating.
2 hours to cut.
Now, you don't have any kids anymore. You can afford to sling a couple of bucks to some guy to come and cut the lawn for you. You don't need to be falling and tumbling down that hill, although I'd love a video of it.
You know, it's just, but you do think, I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't know how much I spend, but it's not cheap to get the grass cut. And the grass does grow.
Yeah.
So, well, it would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if they could invent a grass that just stayed the same height?
Hmm.
I mean, think about it.
Called AstroTurf,
John. I mean,
John.
We put it, well, no, I'm talking about actual grass.
Yeah.
You know, feels good under the foot there. But you've got, we put people on the moon. We've got rovers walking around on Mars out there. We've invented the computer, for the love of Pete. You would think that somebody and what are we doing to the plants? You know, we've got peas that turn into cucumbers and stuff. I mean, you would think you would think that somebody could invent a grass that doesn't grow and stay green,
or that we could just make our kids go out there and mow the lawn. Well, this new stuff. I'm with you. I think we're getting soft. I watch these parents these days, and I'll be curious what the answer from would have been at your house, because, you know, I saw an interaction in the wintertime where a mother was having a conversation with his child, and she said, "Now, Johnny, you can put your coat on and make mom happy, and then you won't get a cold, or you can choose not to wear your coat, and you might get a cold and get sick." You know what I was told?
Put the coat on.
Why? Because I told you so.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there was no choices.
There would be repercussions if you chose not to put the
Billy, you don't want to eat hot dogs tonight? What would you like?
Macaroni and cheese.
You're going to eat what I put in front of you. You're not eating tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. There's I think we are getting really, really soft.
There's a lot of softness out there. Now, Matt Pajeski, our young, very effective producer here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a lawn mower? Did you mow the lawn?
Oh, yeah. Still am.
You still are mowing the lawn.
Yeah, I still live at home, so I'm still cutting the grass. Got to pay my rent somehow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. We'll see there.
But did you have buddies that you grew up whose parents have lawn services?
No lawn services.
Really?
No.
See, there's hope for America out there.
Maybe.
I've been telling you that for years. There's hope for this country. There are still Matt Pajeskis in the world out there cutting the grass. But I'm telling you, we invent this grass that I'm talking about. I ought to get on that. You know, I'm pretty good with the science. And surely there's, well, you've got these little trees with the little Japanese things that don't grow, right?
Right.
Aren't they the little Japanese trees? They just stay like Mr. Miyagi. They didn't stay the same size. If you can have the Japanese tree that won't grow, why can't you have a blade of grass that won't grow?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Michael, this could be the future.
Now, we are three of the whitest human beings ever. And when I mean white, I mean our pale. Skin tone is just like pale.
A bit pasty.
Yeah, we are pasty white guys. Uh-huh. And so I'm sure you guys had this experience your whole life. When you were getting to go out to a pool or in the sun, you had to slather up in that sunscreen.
Yeah, and I didn't like that stuff.
And I hated it. I hated it being on my face and my skin, and then they spray you.
They got the spray on.
Well, listen to this. You know, our parents shoved that sunscreen on us to keep us from being sunburned.
That's important.
But a popular sunscreen brand has voluntarily recalled several of its products.
Why?
Because the chemical that they have in the sunscreen causes cancer. The whole reason we're putting the sunscreen on is to keep the sun from having given us cancer.
And now the juice.
And now the stuff we're putting on us is causing cancer. What's the answer for a bunch of pasty white guys like ourselves?
Well, the answer is no cancer. And so you want to have no cancer, and so you got to have a sunblock that doesn't give you cancer. I think that it's the same principle as the invention being the mother's milk of invention.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not. This is one brand of it. We're not going to
say. Yeah, let me say who it is. A recall was issued from three batches of Banana Boat hair and scalp sunscreen.
Banana Boat. I've used
that. Hancock, you put sunscreen on your head. Pajeski and I, we got full bushes here. We don't have to worry about the rooftop of our head.
I have used Banana Boat sunscreen.
You have?
I mean, not lately.
Have you gotten checked for cancer?
I don't think I'm.
When you go out in the sun, do you put it on the top of your dome there?
Just a regular day?
Yeah.
No. But if we go to the beach, you know.
Well, you wear ball cap, right?
If I'm going to be outside for a prolonged period of time. Now, I don't like the beach.
You don't need a ball cap. You need one of those big old dopey,
sombreros.
Sombrero.
The beach would be great if it wasn't for all that sand.
Yeah. But gets everywhere.
It's not good.
It gets everywhere.
It's not good. Well,
everywhere.
Have we got another pitcher yet?
No. We've got nothing.
Chris Ranji,
this is a mediocre trade
deadline. It's not over yet. Chris Ranji joins us just around the corner. See what's happening with our Cardinals. That's next on KMOX.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly. We're about 24 minutes away from the trade deadline. And you know what? We have gotten some big guests in our time on KMOX.
Yes, we have.
But I can't think of a bigger guest that we have been able to secure other than one of the esteemed members of the show.
You don't say.
It's none other than Chris Ranji. Chris, how are you, pal?
You know, I feel like I just saw you fellas.
You did. Wow. I'm actually sitting in the seat that you, you know, stare at the people on your camera with.
Listen, I think next time you come into the studio,
uh-huh.
Wait until we're finished before you pick me up out of the seat and move me.
Yeah. Well, that you know, that's just my greeting, my normal greeting. You ought to see what I do to Hancock when I walk into a room.
Oh, I've seen it. I'm jealous.
So, not Chris, look, you and Hancock are going to know all about this trade stuff, but mm-hmm. we're now, what, 23 minutes away from the trade deadline?
We are.
But it seems like we've had a pretty mediocre trade season to this point.
Well, I guess if you're talking about from the Cardinals' perspective,
yeah,
it feels that way. I mean, there was obviously the big blockbuster deal with Juan Soto, who was going to the San Diego Padres, and it kind of developed over the last, few hours before our show started earlier today and last night that the Padres were probably going to be the favorite, though the Cardinals were right there. And in the end, it looks like they were just more willing to offer a package of prospects and major league talent to make that happen. So that's done. The Cardinals did get a starting pitcher last night in Jose Quintana, who is a left-handed starter. And I happen to know quite a bit about him because he was with the White Sox early in his career when I was working for them. So I got to know him pretty well. And he was, I'll say going back to 2013, 14 in that range, he was legitimately one of the best starting pitchers in the American League, though people didn't talk about him very much because there was another guy on the team named Chris Sale, who was amazing. And they were both really, really good, but Sale got all of the publicity. So Quintana at one time was very good. Then he got traded to the Cubs. Then he wasn't so great when he was with the Cubs. But this year in Pittsburgh, he has figured something out, whether it's health or something in his delivery. He's been a whole lot better, a whole lot more effective. So if he can stay that way for the remainder of the year, that's a pretty nice pickup for them. But it still does feel like they probably need to go a little bit further.
Yeah, but then it's a big difference pitching in Wrigley Field versus pitching at Busch Stadium. And he may be well suited to pitch in our ballpark with our defense. And as you say, he's had a very respectable season for Pittsburgh. Yeah. It's not a very good team. So, I mean, that's a net plus pickup. There's no question. And what we gave up essentially was Johan Oviedo and then the minor leaguer infielder, Nunez. So not bad. And we get the reliever, Chris Stratton, who, you know, our bullpen has been taxed. And neither Genesis Cabrera nor Gallegos have been this year what they were last year. So having that bullpen support is not insignificant either.
No, it's not. And this was, and I thought going into the season, one of the stronger aspects of the team was going to be that bullpen, and that's played out. But part of the problem is, as the season has gone on, they haven't gotten enough work out of their starting pitchers, and that puts a lot of stress on the bullpen. So a pen that was pretty good for most of the year, if you have to start to go to them too much, you're going to wear them down. And I think there might be a little of that that's been happening, especially the back end guys. You know, you mentioned Cabrera, Helsley, having to get worked a lot. You'd prefer to not have to do that throughout the season because you want to keep them. Look, you can get away with that first 3 months of the year, and it might work out just fine. But once you start to get to August and then you get to September, you can wear those guys down where they're just not effective anymore. So whatever help they can get in the rotation, if they can get good innings work out of their starters, that will help out the bullpen. And, of course, any arms they get out there is going to help too.
Yeah, and Quintana's a guy that can go deep into a game if he's locating his stuff. And he's a good addition. Now, the big name that's out there from a pitching standpoint, that, and it looks like the Cardinals have been in discussion with the San Francisco Giants, Carlos Rodon, and he's 9-6 this year, but he's pitched much better than that record would indicate. He would be a big get for this ball club.
He really would. And that's another guy who was with the White Sox when I was working for them. So I know him pretty well, too. And he was, I mean, like that was their overall number one pick. I forgot exactly what year it was, but they were very excited about him. They got him out of college. And a lot of times those guys can make it to the big leagues pretty quickly because they're more seasoned, I guess. So and then he had some injury issues. He was really, really good last year for the Sox because they brought him back. He was really good for them. But there was like a, because he had so many injuries, he wasn't able to pitch all that much. And then, you know, you kind of have to build up your arm strength. And he wasn't, you know, he hit a wall by the end of the year because his arm strength wasn't built up because of all the injuries he had dealt with before. Well, now he looks like he's pretty good still. And he should be able to continue to give innings if the Cardinals are able to make a deal there. I know the Phillies apparently still interested in him. The Yankees are interested. There's also a report out there the Cardinals are taking a look at Rich Hill, who has been around for a very long, time.
Who looks amazingly like James Comey.
Yeah, I guess. I never saw that before.
Take a look.
Yeah, I guess you're right. A younger James Comey.
Yeah. Well, he's not that much younger. What is Rich Hill, like 43 years old or something?
He is. He's pretty close to that. I think he's like 42, almost 43. Yeah, you're right. Well done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rich Hill has been around forever. Pablo Lopez with the Marlins, is he still on the board maybe?
Yeah, nothing's happened with him yet. Unless I've missed something here in the last several minutes, I think he's still out there. That would be another really nice pickup for them. But I know the Dodgers have some interest in him. That was as of about 20 or 30 minutes ago. And the Dodgers, they've always got prospects and assets to deal if they want to make that happen. So there are still, well, here's the other thing to keep in mind. We've mentioned all these pitchers. I still think there's a very good chance the Cardinals end up with one of them before this is over. But we are, like we've been talking now, 17 minutes away from the deadline. If we hit the deadline and you don't hear anything yet, that does not necessarily mean that something hasn't happened. Sometimes news will trickle in after. It's just 5 o'clock. They have to get that submitted into the league office. That's all that means. So we could hear about a deal in the minutes after 5 o'clock still, but leading up until that point's when the work the teams have to do needs to be done.
Chris, we got to pay that hefty salary that the show has, so we're going to step aside for a second. Will you stick around with us for another segment?
I would be upset if you didn't have me back.
We'll be back with Ron G on the Hancock and Kelly Show after this on the Mighty Mighty Mox. Well, there's less than 10 minutes left in the trade deadline, and Chris Ronji explained to us that they just have to have those submitted to the MLB offices, so we may not learn about some of the trades that take place till after 5 o'clock. But as it stands right now with what we know, Chris Ronji, who other than the Padres has had a successful trade season?
Well, it looks like the Yankees have done pretty well here as well. They've picked up a couple of starters. The Twins have made a lot of additions as well. I would say those might be two of the teams that have done the best, at least. That's what it looks like right now. I think what the Cardinals did is good. It just isn't great. I'd like to see them do a little bit better than what they are right now. And like you've been saying, we still have some time here, about 10 minutes, a little bit less than 10 minutes to go right now. Milwaukee did not have a very good deadline here. And unless something changes in the next few minutes, I can't imagine they will rectify that anytime soon. But they let go of one of their best relievers in Josh Hader. He's gone, which is strange because they're in first place in the division. And that's exactly the kind of guy you need to have down the stretch and when you get to the postseason. He is hugely valuable in those times. And they let him go. And I know the team is not happy. Just saw an interview with Devin Williams, who was actually from St. Louis. And Devin is one of the other really good relievers in that Brewers bullpen. And he is like they asked him questions about Hader being traded, and he was not happy about it. He was just not happy. So I can't imagine the team feels like it's in a good position right now. But as of this moment, the Padres have had a fantastic trade deadline here. Of course, they get one of the best players in the game. They are already very strong as it is. Then they add that guy to the top of the lineup with Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, and he's probably going to slot right in the middle of the two of them. Like, that is a that 1-2-3 in their batting order is an absolute bear.
And Josh Bell. They got Josh Bell,
and they get Josh Bell, too, who's hitting. And they you know, they lose Eric Hosmer, which they were trying to get rid of Eric Hosmer and his contract. They did that. And they added Josh Bell to the mix. So they're cooking with gas in San Diego. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win, but I always err on the side of do as well as you possibly can, get your team in the best possible position to win. If it doesn't work out, great. Tip your cap, because you know then that you tried your absolute best at the deadline or during the off season or whatever. But I would rather a team like really give it a good effort and then see what happens after that.
Now,
like I said, doesn't guarantee anything, but still, I'd rather see them go for it.
We have seen teams that make a plethora of moves at the deadline.
Sure.
And they've kind of destroyed their clubhouse chemistry. How big of a concern is that when you make so many changes?
I guess it's a little bit. I don't worry too much about that, especially in baseball, unless you acquire a guy who's just an absolute pain. And that, I don't know if that happens all that often. I mean, to me, it would be a bigger deal maybe in like basketball or something, but baseball is one of those individual one-on-one kind of sports where you just kind of go out and do your job. And if you do your job, the team is going to benefit from it. So it's not like you have to be as cohesive. I mean, there have been baseball teams where everybody hates each other and they still do well. That's very possible. So I don't worry so much about that. I think sometimes when teams make a lot of deals in that manner and they bring in a lot of really great talent and it doesn't work out, I think it just doesn't work out, because you have to think that there are a lot of teams going up to the deadline that are trying to improve. Well, only one of them, like let's say 10 teams have done a lot to improve at the trading deadline. Well, all 10 of them can't win the World Series. Only one of them is going to. And then we look at the other 9 teams as failures. Well, they're not. They did the best they could to improve their team, and it didn't work out. So, you know, it's not going to work out for a lot of these teams, and it may not work out for the Padres, but you have to applaud them for trying.
Well, it was an impressive trade deadline, a flurry of activities for San Diego. We still don't know, with 5 minutes to go, or in the 5-minute warning now. Chris Ranji, thanks so much for spending some time with us and for your insight on all things baseball on this big day.
Hey, anytime I can help out, you know I'm willing to.
Appreciate it, my friend. Keep your eyes peeled, and we will keep ours peeled as well. We have one more, well, almost a full hour coming your way, and then it's pregame Cardinal baseball. Cardinals and the Cubs, Wainwright on the mound for the Redbirds. Yadier Molina will be receiving those pitches behind the plate. The game starts at what time? 6:40 this evening, something like that. And the pregame starts at 5:50, and you can hear all of that right here on KMOX. And it doesn't seem at this point like the Cardinals have made that last-minute deal, but maybe, just maybe, we'll get another pitcher in here. We'll find out right after the news here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.